Welcome back to another Batman News Weekly. This is episode 220 in year 5, and I got some bad news for you. I'm the only voice you're hearing again today. The reason for this is, you know, as Clay mentioned the last time he was on the podcast, he just moved. He just moved across the country. And things are, you know, he's still getting really adjusted. He's got a new job, so does his wife, all that kind of jazz. He's still got a kid, and he doesn't have his family here. So, or he doesn't have his family there to help him do like they would any other way. So it's just been a little hectic with both of our schedules. You know, I've just launched a new channel. I have my, you know, actual job that I'm doing as well. And so trying to get our times to sync right now is very tough. We usually would record early on a Thursday morning, and that's why you would normally get the podcast on a Thursday evening type of schedule. But we've had to push that to recording at Thursday at night. But, you know, it's just hasn't been going. I've been pretty busy as well, so it's just pretty tough to find the perfect time to record right now. So moving forward... Clay might be here next week. I can't really confirm that. But moving forward, we're going to work in a capacity to where, you know, once Clay gets his schedule solidified and he knows what his, you know, week's going to look like, that's when he'll be coming back to the podcast. Again, that might be next week. He was going to try to do it today. But, I mean, I got some stuff I still need to take care of. It's the end of the month. There's a lot of busy stuff going on. But I did tell him, you know, work on some content. So he said that he's going to be trying to get something out, I believe this weekend, maybe Sunday around the times. If not, maybe earlier. Who knows? But so Clay will be trying to work on some content if he's not on the podcast. So he's still going to be on the channel. So don't worry about that. But once he's life's a little bit more easygoing, he will be back on the podcast. But he has been helping out with providing all of the sources and topics for the week. Again, if you guys are not on the Discord, you should join the Discord. Come hang out. Because you could also ask questions there if you're not asking them on the YouTube. But yeah, he provided some topics for us, and we're going to dive into these. These very James Gunn-heavy topics, because that's what the internet's been talking about lately. And the first thing we got going on is James Gunn is not working on anything else other than his vision for the DCEU. Now, this actually comes from a, what is that site that nobody goes on anymore? That Instagram has Threads. Sorry, I don't really, I don't use that site anymore. I believe this is on Threads. He just sent me a screen cap. But it was somebody named The Real Authored that asked, what other projects are you working on besides your DCU vision? Which, you know, James Gunn replied, good God, nothing. Because, you know, this is a huge thing. I think people think that, you know, James Gunn is just at home being like, you know, it'll be cool if we actually made like a Wildcats movie. I think that'd be kind of cool. And then, you know what? There should be actually, we could be building to like fighting Brainiac. That might be cool as well. It's not what he's doing. Like, this dude is running a whole studio. And so I think it's pretty crazy that people would think that he's working on other stuff. Now, maybe, I mean, I think like any creator, while you're working on huge projects that have deadlines, you probably think of other ideas and you write them down. But I think with James Gunn right now, he's more than likely going to do a Superman trilogy, right? We'll probably get that over the course of time. And he's got to be building a whole universe. He's got to cast a new Batman. He's got to do all this other kind of stuff. So, yeah, I would not expect James Gunn to be putting out any other movies than DC-related projects going in the future. Now, I could see James Gunn pivoting away from, like, Superman, Batman, all that kind of stuff, to do, like, maybe something Vertigo-esque that's maybe more horror-based. I could totally see him do that. But right now, I totally do not see James Gunn working on anything else. As I just mentioned, he has a lot of people to cast. You know, this is a whole universe he's building. We kind of got a lot of them already. We have people in Superman. Seems like he's doing a whole Justice League in his movie. But, you know, he says that they're all part of the story. So they're going to have some role in there. It's not just to be like, we're building a universe. We need to have everybody. But this was probably the most interesting thing that I saw from James Gunn, which is Gunn states roles will never be cast without a script. And I believe this actually comes from a, I don't know if this is also on Threads. Again, I'm not on that website. Let me pull this up. I believe this is on Threads. Or maybe it's on Twitter. I'm pretty sure I follow him on there. Anyways, either way, James Gunn says this. I get asked about rumors of various actors being cast in various roles every day. Just a blanket rule to keep in mind while assessing whether these rumors have any truth to them. 99% of the time they're false. We are never going to cast roles without scripts. I think that is a glorious idea. Because that is not what the DCEU did. The DCEU picked its actors and everybody before the scripts were in, from my understanding. And the reason why I say that is because Jason Momoa was Aquaman like 4 or 5 years before he was even in BVS. So there was no way that script was done. You know what I mean? And, yeah, there was just a lot of craziness that went along with the DCEU. We will be talking about that a little later as well. But, yeah, I think this is a great idea because you need to have something. Like, here's the thing about anybody that's never written anything or attempted to write anything, especially if it's going to involve somebody portraying that character that you're writing, you need to know that they can handle this. Like, just a little side story. Before COVID hit, I was working with a friend of mine who did a true crime documentary recently called The Dolly Madison Murders. You can check it out on Tubi. Not sponsored, but I thought it was fantastic fucking work. But my friend and I were going to be doing a short film before COVID hit. We were working on this thing. We really had like a location where we were going to film it. It was going to be like this suspense thriller that we were going to do. And we were spending like nights just writing this thing out. And what I told him, I was like, look, man, I was like, I really like this idea. I was all, but we cannot hire an actress that sucks. Because in this particular story we were going to tell, it involved a lot of acting. Like, you had to show fear. You had to show, like, confusion. You had to be able to really act without talking. And so I told him, I was like, this will not work if we don't have the right person. And I don't think a lot of people really consider that when they think about these movies. They just see somebody and they're like, that person will be perfect. That person will do this. I mean, we do that here on the podcast too. I think Jake Gyllenhaal will be a great Batman. That script hasn't come out. But I've seen enough of Jake Gyllenhaal that I'm like, oh, dude, he could handle Batman. Like, he would be fantastic. Because I've seen him be dramatic and intense and, like, brooding in a bunch of other movies. And so, yeah, that's kind of why I say that. But I think people need to consider that when it comes out to these kind of movies. And I like what I'm hearing from James Gunn. I do, you know, I've went back on this because we've talked about it on the podcast that, like, he kind of handled the whole intro to the DCU pretty poorly. We loved it when it came out. We were like, dude, this is the way you fucking do it. You just announce shit. But we also thought that James Gunn was going to creatively write the 4 remaining movies into the DCU. And that didn't really happen. And now they're just kind of throw them away. And I mean, Jason Momoa, as we talked about on the last podcast, has pretty much said Aquaman is the end of the DCEU. So, you know, it wasn't the best way to go about it. And I think that movie is tracking at like $30 million right now opening. So it's going to probably be pretty bad. I'm very curious if James Gunn is going to, if his Superman is going to be able to, you know, beat out these old movies. I don't know. We have 2 years to wait on that. But I do think it is very, very important and a good idea to wait for the scripts to be done when it comes to making these movies. Because, look, we don't need any more bad DC movies. We got plenty of bad DC movies. And I think, you know, if you're going to make these hard-hitting emotional stories or just, like, epic good stories, you're going to need some good actors in there. And so I think you're going to need a script to be able to do that. Moving on to the next thing that I think a lot of people are very intrigued by, and that is Dave Bautista was at DC Studios. Now, a lot of people know that Dave Bautista, obviously, was in Guardians of the Galaxy as Drax, and the director of that was James Gunn. Now, the most interesting thing about this was Dave Bautista was in a nice, very outfit. He has my kind of style. He had black jeans with a really nice blazer and like a scarf and a black shirt. I'm like, dude, I love this fit. It's all black, but he's real comfortable in jeans. Like, that's my kind of style. I love jeans. So loving the fit here by Batista. But the interesting thing, this was posted on his Instagram. He's sitting down in James Gunn's parking spot. Because obviously at these big studios, you get assigned parking and all that kind of jazz. And he tags James Gunn in it. So a lot of people are assuming this is a teaser to him being in the DCEU. Now, I don't think this is shocking by any means. Everybody thought Dave Bautista would be in the DCEU at some point. Of course, you have the fanboys out there. They're like, James Gunn only hires his best friends. His wife gets all the roles. Which those people are complete idiots, because if you go look at any director that makes movies, they always use their favorite people. I mean, go look at Scorsese. Always works with De Niro or Pacino, or now DiCaprio. Go look at freaking Nolan. Constantly working with, oh my God, I always forget his name. Cillian Murphy? I always forget the guy's name. The guy that was just in Oppenheimer. Always works with him. You know, or DiCaprio if he can. And the thing is this is no, I mean, look at, oh my God, freaking Tarantino has some people that he likes working with a lot too that pop up in his movies. Like, it just happens. Adam Sandler always casts his friends too. But nobody's talking shit about those guys. Nobody. But it's because, James, it really sucks because they always bring up James Gunn's wife. And it's like, why? Because she's a woman? He's like, oh yeah, I'm going to give her a role. Like, what the fuck? I don't understand why they're only honing in on James Gunn. Could be just because they think he ruined the Marvel Universe, which he's probably the only person that's put a good Marvel movie in the last, like, 10 or 15 movies. But yeah, so the fanboys are going to hate on that. But Dave Bautista is, you know, coming to the DCU, it seems like, because there is a post that James Gunn actually, he did share that photo on Instagram. Hey, Dave, I can't believe you're parking your body in my space. That's what he kind of, you know, kind of like a joking thing on Instagram. But I do think that we will see him in the DCEU. What he's going to be doing, I have no idea. A lot of people automatically go to Bane. I don't know if he's going to want to play Bane unless it's going to be the calculating, smart, badass Bane. Other than that, I mean, he'd probably be down to break Batman's back. But remember, this is also going to be an older Batman, we're assuming, because, you know, the Bat family will already exist, all that kind of jazz. So you would assume that that's already happened. And, you know, that also happened in the Nolan universe. And, you know, it is very cliche that if you do bring in Bane, it's like, oh, yeah, he breaks Batman's back. Maybe he doesn't do that here. Maybe it's just history that's been done, yada, yada. But I don't know. I could also see Batista wanting to be somebody else because Bane is so stereotypical. But I also think that he said he read for Bane at one point. So I don't know. We're going to have to wait and see what happens here. But I think I would say it's pretty much a lock that Dave Bautista is going to be in the DCU. So that is going to be pretty interesting. I mean, I think a lot of people would be excited for that. Now, the one of the most moving on to the next topic. I'm sorry, I'm just kind of rolling here because I'm just reading off these topics. This was the most interesting one to come out of the last week, and it involves the former, I don't know, lead person in charge of the DCEU, and that was Zack Snyder. And this is according to Flash Film News. Zack Snyder said he called James Gunn to wish him all the best and told him that I told him that I wanted to work. This is a quote. I'm sorry. Wish him all the best and that I wanted it all to work. So basically, you know, Snyder's telling Gunn, like, I hope everything works out for you. Snyder also said, if Gunn would invite him back to the DC, he would only tackle a true adaptation of Frank Miller's Dark Knight Returns. Now, you know, James Gunn DCU is going to have Elseworlds. So if you wanted to bring Zack Snyder back to do a true adaptation of Frank Miller's Dark Knight Returns, I think this could be a way to please the Snyder fans and also not have Zack Snyder messing up your, you know, your plans for the future. Let him go hog wild in an Elseworld story. Let it be known it is an Elseworld story, but The problem is, and I said this for the reason on why they should have never released the Snyder Cut, is you do not give screaming children what they want. You just don't do it. It is a bad practice to do. We saw it. And what has been happening every day since the Snyder Cut came out? Give Snyder his universe back. Give us Justice League 2, 3, 5, 6, whatever the whole plan was. They keep talking about it, and they've hated the DCU since. Now, I think if James Gunn was like, look, we will give you The Dark Knight Returns. This is going to be your one movie. You need to make it clear to your fans this will be one and done, and you are not going to be doing anything else. You know, I think that's what you would need to do, but who knows? I wouldn't mind him tackling that movie, to be honest. He would probably bring back Ben, and he would probably bring back Henry as the Superman and Batman in those stories. They're already going to be older. They're older in that book. And, yeah, I don't know. I'd be down to see it. I mean, it has huge tanks in it, and, like, you know, there's all the mutant people and all that kind of jazz. It is right up Zack Snyder's alley. Zack Snyder also got praised by Christopher Nolan this week by saying that Watchmen was ahead of its time, which I agree with. You know, Watchmen is one of the films that Zack Snyder made that I absolutely love. Like, I went out and bought that expensive collector's edition that was, like, the director's cut. I went out and bought that because I love that movie so much. Zack Snyder can be a good director. I just think he's not a great writer. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. I would be curious if Gunn would even go for this. I don't think Gunn's going to touch this anytime soon. I think it would be like, I don't know, man. He would probably greenlight this in maybe like 4 years. I think the DCU's got to get its footing. It's got to be, you know, positive with the crowd and then be like, oh, we got something for you guys. And then we're launching Elseworlds with Zack Snyder's freaking The Dark Knight Returns. And then everybody be like, oh my God, we love you, freaking James Gunn, you're the greatest director of all. You know what I mean? Like, people would flip their shit. But, you know, he would make that movie. That series is dark anyways. He would probably, you know, bring all those people back and be like, we need to put him back in charge of the DCU. So it is a double-edged sword. I think you would make some people happy, you know. But, yeah, I don't know. The only positive I could see is, like, if you were to bring him into the DCU, give him the film he wants, his fans might be like, oh, maybe James Gunn isn't that bad, and maybe we go start supporting DCU movies so Snyder can actually get, like, a good budget for his film. Maybe that would work. I don't really know. But this does come from Hollywood Reporter, by the way. So, solid sourcing on that. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if we'll see that happen personally, but I would be interested. I will say that. I would be interested to see Zack Snyder do a Dark Knight Returns movie. Long as he's not the writer or long as he's not doing the story for it. I mean, the story's already there. So, bring in somebody really good to write it and let Snyder direct it. I've always said that, like, cinematography-wise, he's amazing. So I'd be curious. I have seen some steals and stuff from that new thing he's dropping. I've said it just looks all over the place. There's like so many different genres in there. I do feel like it's going to be like Sucker Punch, where it looks amazing and it's just like it ends up being dog shit. So, I mean, I hope not. I love to be proven wrong in those situations because I would love for him to have a hit out of the park where that is universally liked. You know what I mean? Because his fans will always say that his stuff is great, but... Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I don't know. So very interesting news that we've had going on this week. But from there, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be moving on to viewer questions. And we got a few from the YouTube. Nobody in the Discord. Everybody's like, Clay's not here. We're protesting. We don't freaking ask any questions in the Discord. But over on YouTube, we have Eduardo de la Cruz. I'm locked. Okay, I'm not locked in here with you. You're locked in here with who would win. Teen Titans versus All for One, Wonder Woman versus Loki, Batman versus Magneto. Okay, so Teen Titans versus All for One. I mean, dude, like, I can only speak from what I've seen in the anime, and All for One beats so many people's asses that I just don't know if the Teen Titans would be able to do that. you know, Clay would have more information on this for sure, because I believe he's, like, caught up on the manga, maybe? So he'd have a lot more information on this. But just going off the current Teen Titans, do I think they could beat All For One? I mean, I'm kind of trying to... Does All For One have Decay? Like, that's what I'm curious about. Because right now, he's kind of, like, controlling somebody that has the Decay Quark. And, dude, Decay is so powerful. And, like, it doesn't even matter how good, like, Nightwing is and other people. Because Decay just destroys everything in its wake. And you can't even be touched by it. So, I'm gonna go, All For One. Because All For One is pretty OP, man. He's like a Superman S type villain. He's just like insane. Wonder Woman versus Loki. Here's the thing. I don't know much about Loki. I don't watch the show. I don't read the comics. So I could be totally wrong in my assessment. I am going just based off of Wonder Woman has killed gods before and all various types of gods. And she's fought some insane people in the DCEU. Or not DC, just DC Comics in general. So I'm going to go Wonder Woman versus Loki. And also, like, Marvel's kind of made Loki kind of stupid at points, right? I don't know if he's really cool now, but I always go back to the Avengers moment where he's all like, I have an army. And he's like, we got a Hulk. And then he just gets smashed and thrown around like a child. So I would say Wonder Woman there. As for Batman versus Magneto... So, here's the interesting thing. I don't know if we've gotten a comic that shows, like, the x-rays of Batman or how Batman, you know, how his body is. Because if Batman's got metal in his body, ooh, ouch, you know? Magneto's gonna rip that out of him. But if I could, everything that we know about Batman, I could believe that he has, like, a demagnetized suit or something that would fight off magnetization? Whatever. You know, basically, he'd probably have a suit that Magneto couldn't, like, pick him up and throw him around on. So he would mainly have to be dodging all of Magneto's, just kind of, like, abilities. Or not abilities, but Magneto just throwing everything out of him. You know what, man? Like, it would be really tough for Batman to survive that because I don't know what he would do. He would probably have to get, like, a mech suit, but if there's metal in the mech suit, you're kind of screwed. I think that would be an interesting fight. I'll say that. I think Magneto could probably beat Batman because Batman would have to use... only weapons that are, you know, he'd have to use, like, smoke bombs and stuff like that to just try to escape Magneto. I think this would be one of the situations where Batman would have to escape to find a way to try to beat Magneto later. So I think if it's, like, one-on-one, Batman doesn't know who he is, he would try to get away. I would say Magneto could probably beat him, but again, it goes back to, like, I think this is one of those situations where it would be prep time. Batman would need prep time to make this happen. Because I don't know, man. I feel like he'd probably call in for some help here. But who knows? I'm trying to think of if I've read a book where he's fought somebody like a Magneto one-on-one. And nothing comes to my brain. So I'm going to go Magneto there. But I do think Batman could find a way to beat him for sure. Moving on to Clay, who says... what would be the most badass location to have a live-action fight scene like BVS Warehouse? A library, quietly, a quinceañera, a furry convention, Six Flags, Warner Brothers advertising. Six Flags would be funny because you could probably fight on a roller coaster. You could fight on, like, Bugs Whitewater Rapids. I do think if you were doing, like, a comedy... Honestly, if you were doing, like, Batman in, like, a Deadpool kind of way, you would get all of these in one movie, which I think would be funny. Because you'd probably be flying around in a spaceship, getting thrown all the way around or whatever. But if I had to pick a real one, a furry convention, that's just Gotham, man. A quinceañera. I mean, a quinceañera, like, it's just a Mexican party, man. Like, it's just, you know, it's a, you know, for a teenage kid's party, you know, treat them like a royalty for a day or whatever. But I don't know. I think the funniest one, or, I mean, well, it's most badass. So, I don't know, man. Six Flags would probably be the most entertaining because there's also, like, Batman and, like, Joker rides and stuff like that, so that would be interesting. A library, the only way a library fight quietly would make sense or even be interesting is if, like, if Batman got too crazy while fighting and, like, he hit, like, a certain decibel level, the library starts, like, exploding. Like, random little things start exploding in the library. That would be the only thing that would make it interesting because, like, the fight choreography for that would have to be, like, Batman punching, and then if the guy's falling over, he'd have to catch him and bring him back and punch him again. And, like, he'd have to make sure he never hits the ground or knocks into anything. So that would be kind of cool. But he'd have to have a reason on why he's fighting that way. Not, like, I don't think Batman's going to worry about being quiet in a library. So, you know, there'd have to be a reason. But I think you could do the Batman thing pretty interesting if he couldn't let the person hit the ground. You know what I mean? But moving on to the next question, we have Jason Todd. How well would Batman do in the Marvel Universe? Still OP, overshadowed. I don't think he's going to get overshadowed. Not at all. You're talking about a character that is more popular than Wonder Woman and Superman. And a lot of people around the world know who Superman is. So, and Wonder Woman, to be honest. So, I don't think you'd be overshadowed at all. And like we've said on this podcast before, Marvel essentially saw Batman and they were like, damn, that guy does a lot of things. We should take different aspects from Batman and make characters. I mean, the Playboy genius part of Bruce Wayne and Batman is Tony Stark. The cool, like, dark vigilante style kind of character, that could be Moon Knight, Black Panther, who else? Daredevil, you know what I mean? Like, those are all different kind of things like that. Like, they've built so many characters from just Batman aspects that he would definitely not be overshadowed. He'd be OP. So, yeah, I don't think he'd be overshadowed at all, to be honest. I think a lot of people would be like, oh, shit, like, Batman's in Marvel, you know? So, Alexis Barrera asked the same question she asked last week of, I don't think Clay was here to answer this last, but which of these females would you like to see write a Batman link that is of Snyder and King? I'm sorry, Alexis. I have texted Clay, and I told him just to answer your question in the comments, because I don't know when he's going to come back, you know? I don't know. It could be next week. It could be, you know, a month from now. I really have no idea. So, yeah, hopefully he'll reach out and answer that, because I don't want you to keep answering the same question every week or asking the same question and not getting Clay's perspective. So, yeah, I have texted him, so we'll see. But unfortunately, you're just getting some bad luck when that question is asked. Moncrey says, what would Batman's plan be if he was cursed by always turning into a super-powered homicidal werebat every full moon? I think this is kind of easy, to be honest. If Batman knew he was going to change, and he was going to be a homicidal super-powered werebat, I think he would build something to lock himself in during full moons. Every time there was a full moon, he would have his bases covered. He's like, look, I can't go out because there's going to be a full moon. I have to be locked in the freaking hyperbolic time chamber or whatever. And he would also tell the Justice League and be like, yo, full moon this week, guys. So I'm going to need somebody to make sure I don't break out and start killing people during the night in case I escape. You know what I mean? I think he would have contingencies for himself. I don't think it would be anything too crazy. He'd also have the Bat Family ready to go. He'd probably have somebody stationed outside the, you know, the vault or wherever he's holding himself, ready to shoot him with something. And then he'd have the Bat Family watching Gotham for the night. I think that's how it would go down. But yeah, moving on to the next one, we got Nathan, who says, what alternate version of these villains sounds most intriguing? Rumpelstiltskin, Tech uses percussion for a contract signed for him to be mayor/commissioner. Wait. Tech uses precautions for contracts signed for him. Okay, so I'm assuming Tech is Jarvis, Mad Hatter. I'm assuming, right? I don't know. I don't know about that one. Maxi Hades controls dead fire summon, has three-headed mutant dog. Zolo, pronounced Sholut. Bane uses Aztec god-like masks, weapons, and themes in his crimes. Probably the last one that is hard to pronounce, Sholut. Yeah, Bane uses Aztec god-like masks, weapons, and themes in his crimes. Probably that one. The other commissioner mayor, like, I mean, that's been done, you know, multiple times in Batman. Like, there's always been, like, a new mayor or whatever. Now, granted, it can work and it can be good. I do think, what was her name? Oh my god, I'm forgetting her name. I want to say Tamaki. Yeah, Tamaki, in her detective run, she had that new mayor that was the cop that got, like, shot in the eye or whatever and, like, blamed it on Batman. He was an interesting mayor for a while. So, like, the mayor commissioner thing can be really good, but I feel like sometimes people create those characters and don't really flesh them out. You know what I mean? So I think that would be kind of, has Gordon ever been mayor? I'm trying to think. He's obviously, commissioner's been the highest thing he's got, but I'm trying to think, why has there never been a story, and maybe there has been, I've never read it, where Gordon runs for mayor and is the mayor. I know they did it in Harley Quinn. I'm pretty sure Harley Quinn has the storyline where he's trying to be the mayor of Gotham City, and Two-Face is his, like, political, what do they call him, like, advisor or whatever. So, they've done it in Harley Quinn. I don't know if they've ever done it in a Batman book, which might be intriguing if Commissioner Gordon tried to be the mayor of Gotham and try to clean it up through political means instead of being on the streets, you know what I mean? And then you could also tell the story of him trying to also copyright claim, freaking trademark, whatever I need to do to keep that story. I'm just going to say this. Plenty, I feel like, we've talked about a lot of stories on this podcast over the last 5 years, and some of them just so happened to get made. I'm looking at you, Red Hood, in the Suicide Squad. You know, just saying. A lot of things happening. But anyways, yeah, I don't know. I do think that would be intriguing. So, yeah, I would probably go with the Bane one, though, out of all of these, because, you know, the mayor commissioner thing, a lot of things got to happen for that to be an interesting story. But moving on, ladies and gentlemen, that is all we got for questions. We're moving on to comics, and what I want to say is I only got 3 books for this week, ladies and gentlemen. We were supposed to redo all the books we didn't see last week. I've been swamped. Clay's been swamped. And, you know, we just haven't been able to read all the books. And this week I'm going to be covering Detective. And Detective, we're covering Brave and the Bold, and also... oh my god, what is the other book? Batman Neo Year. Gotham Neo Gothic, sorry. So let's go ahead and dive into Brave and the Bold first. Okay, so, you know, it is Brave and the Bold, and I just want to call this out. Everybody knows I am a homer for Tom King. I'm a big supporter. Yo, Tom King, where the fuck is this Batman story in Brave and the Bold? This is Brave and the Bold number 7. Ladies and gentlemen, 007 Brave and the Bold here. And we have not got the remaining story of the Batman, what is it called? Like the first meeting of Joker or whatever he pinned it as. Which it's funny because I'm not liking the story, but I want to know the conclusion of it. You know, I'm very curious what Tom King is going to do in regards to that story. And yeah, I think it's just, where is it at? It was supposed to be a 4-issue story, ladies and gentlemen, and we're on 7 issues. They were supposed to just skip, like, I think we were going to get 1 and 2, and then they were going to skip 3, and we were going to get it in 4 and 5. But then it was like, we got 1 and 2, I think they skipped 3, we got 4, they skipped 5, and now skip 6 and 7? I think that's how it went. I don't know. Because we've read, because this is the first story in this book is a continuation of a story from the previous book. So that means number six, they were already planning the story. So, yeah, I don't know what's going on. I don't know why Brave and the Bold is so delayed. I don't know if they're trying to rewrite the story to make it better, redraw the story to make it better, but it wasn't great to start with. I don't know how they're going to fix that story, in my opinion. I don't even remember how it ended, what the last thing was. I know Batman fell out of a building and was hurt and stuff like that. He was also being really weird and talking weird, I think. I don't remember. But yeah, so Brave and the Bold's not happening. Either way, this current Batman story that is happening in Brave and the Bold, this is the second part. I don't think we covered the first part. I think because I wasn't... I might have completely forgot about this book last time we covered it. And Clay had read it. And it was, I believe, Gillian March was the artist. I actually have some of his art books, to be honest. Because I love the way he draws Catwoman in his books. It's got, I don't know. He was the one that was doing if you read Catwoman New 52, where her and Batman are banging, like, in the first issue and all that kind of jazz, like, that's Gillian March's art. So I don't know. That's kind of when I jumped onto comics really heavily, and I just really liked his art since then. But he's the artist for this book. And there's some Catwoman Batman stuff here. There's a Catwoman smooch in here. The funny thing is, you learn that it's not really Batman. So from my understanding, the last story, Batman lost his memories, and he's trying to learn to be Batman again. Well, in this particular story, he's, like, trying to figure out how to glide through Gotham and whatnot. He feels like he has the vibe. Like, he's like, oh, I got this. I'll remember it. Runs into Catwoman. You know, Catwoman gives him a little smooch. Like, maybe this will help you remember. And we get the backstory that, you know, he's been helping out a woman that Catwoman already helps out. And Catwoman's like, you know, the bat signal's shining. He's like, I gotta go. And she's like, no, you don't. Like, you can help people that people forget about. And that's kind of what Catwoman's whole MO is, right? She helps the people that are forgotten. And, you know, she knows that Batman's been helping people because she's been watching him. And so I found this really interesting with the later reveal, because it shows that she is spying on Batman and this woman that she's been helping. And so she's talking. Batman has a beard, by the way. He looks kind of cool. He ends up going to meet Commissioner Gordon. Commissioner Gordon has a bunch of soldiers or, you know, SWAT team guys show up, and they point guns at Batman. And Batman's like, what are you doing? Like, you accuse me of something and you're just going to point guns at me? You know this isn't going to go well, right? And freaking beats all of them up. And then out of nowhere, the real Batman shows up. Non-beardy Batman shows up and starts fighting this Batman. And what ends up happening, he is all like, you fight well, the real Batman. He's like, you fight well, but you still fight like a human. And I was just like, damn! Or maybe he said person, I'm not too sure. But like Batman, that's how crazy Batman is. He's like, dude, my fighting ability is beyond human. Which is, you know, kind of egotistical. But we all know Batman's got a little bit of ego with him. Anyways, so he beats this Batman. And he's all like, you're not Batman, you're so-and-so. He gives, like, the person's name. He's like, you're a hacker, and you work for, like, criminal enterprises or whatever. And he knows this because this guy tried to steal tech from Wayne Industries. So Batman's all like, you tried to steal from the wrong person. And so, which I thought was crazy, kind of weird here. Because Batman admits that, you know, you stole from the wrong person, but it says Wayne Industries. Is he giving away his name here? If I find this right, let's see. He was like, I'm trying to remember what is his correct words. Surrender, you have no escape. It's a pity, yada, yada. I don't know where he said it, but I could have swore like he was like, you stole from the wrong person. Something happened and you went into the private sector. You specialize in stealing. Okay. You were doing, well until you stole from the wrong person. Okay. So maybe it's not, I got the vibe that it was, well, I mean, he still says, why is Wayne Industries the wrong person? You know what I mean? Now, we have had stories where Bruce Wayne himself has come out and said that he supports vigilantism in Gotham and he supports Batman. So that could be kind of how you kind of circumvent the like questionable stuff there. But anyways, Batman beats this guy, tells him who he is, and tells him what happened. And so this guy thought he was Batman because he ended up stealing a cowl from Wayne Industries, Wayne Tech, and he had a rocket booster on his back. And when he flies away, he ends up crash landing, and that's how he lost his memories. And he was wearing the cowl when it happened, so people thought he was Batman. Or at least the person that he was living with that's been nursing him back to health thought he was Batman. And then he remembers he has a kid, and he's killed kids and stuff like that, and he just doesn't want to be a criminal like that anymore, or whatever. And so Batman's, like, gonna let him go, which is kind of crazy, because, like, he just admitted to killing some kids. But he's like, look, you gotta live for your daughter, yada yada. And what ends up happening is, as he's giving the cowl back to Batman, somebody gets called, which, again, I didn't read the last issue, but apparently he has a sidekick. And so he's got to go save this sidekick, and Batman's like, put the cowl back on, and, you know, we'll go deal with this. And then they both take off and, you know, fly away to go fight the next battle, which is to go save this kid. Here's the issue, though. It says to be concluded, meaning we're more than likely not getting Tom King's story until issue 9. Unless it finished. Unless I am completely wrong. And this story is, you know, I'm just totally missing it right now. Yeah, we're not going to get Tom King's story until freaking issue 9 at the earliest, which is wild because they're going to probably finish out this story. There was some other stories in Brave and the Bold like there always is. There was a Wild Dog story where I think he gets a new shirt that has like a cat on it now. So I don't know if he's Wildcat. Then there's an Aquaman story. And then there is a black and white story that I haven't got to read at the very end of the book, but it's made by Matthew Rosenberg. So Rosenberg, and it also involves Etrigan. So if you're down with Etrigan and Batman, that is one of the backstories. I definitely want to read that. I just didn't have time. And Matthew Rosenberg, I think, you know, hit or miss on certain topics. I'm not liking what he's doing with Joker, but, you know, we raved about what he did with The Boys and also what he did with... he did a lot of the writing for Vampires. Majority of Vampires was great. The ending was not, but Tynan was the story map person for that, the person writing out all the story beats, and Rosenberg was filling in all the dialogue. So I don't really blame him for how the story went because that would be on Tynan. But anyways... So, Brave and the Bold, you know, there it is. I do think the Brave and the Bold stories are pretty cool. I especially usually love the backup. I just didn't get to read that this time around, so I'm excited to read that. But moving on, by the way, I should point out the other books that we have not covered that I didn't get to. Amazon's Attack, which was something we were covering because that's kind of going along with the Wonder Woman story. That came out this week. Batman 89 Echoes, which this is going to be... obviously, Batman 89, but it involves Scarecrow. Selena Kyle's in this as well, so if you want to go ahead and read, I believe Harley Quinn's in it too. So if you guys want to read 89, I'm going to have to go back and read this. Maybe I'll try to cover it next week. But 89 looks really cool. If you love that era, if you love the Tim Burton series, I highly suggest picking up these comics because they're drawn in a way that looks like the actors, looks like the style, everything like that. They've been pretty good. So Batman 89 Echoes, there is going to be 6 issues in that story. So if you want to check that out, definitely go do that. Again, what we didn't get to cover last week was World's Finest 21, which was Clash of Generations, which was the... oh my god, what's the Kingdom Come? It was the Kingdom Come Batman and Superman versus, you know, the other Superman. At least that's the cover of it. But I believe that story is the one that involved that kid that crash landed on Earth and Superman was trying to, like, take care of. The last thing we read was he was attacking Superman. Batman Offworld, another thing we didn't get to cover. What else popped out that came out last week? I forget. Yeah, I don't know. Nightwing and Justice Society of America were other books that we didn't get to cover. But yeah, there's a lot of Batman-related books coming out, and, you know, unfortunately, I apologize, have not had time to read them. But, so moving on from Batman Brave and the Bold, we're going to move on to Detective Comics. Let's move on to Detective Comics, because, as I mentioned in the last week, we just picked up Detective Comics. We have not really been liking the story, but we currently like what's happening in the story at the moment, because Batman is about to be hung in the middle of Gotham. They're gonna, you know, hang him for his sins or whatever with these people that have taken over. But Catwoman has organized a group of people to do basically a prison break. They are going to save Batman, and that is what's happening here. So, as they're about to hang Batman, by the way, I don't like the way Ram V is writing Batman. Batman gives like this weird little speech right before he's about to be hung. And it's just not what Batman would say. Like, it's just like really poetic, like opera-y type of stuff. At one point, Batman says, "I am your shadow, Gotham. I will always walk with you." I just don't really, I don't know. I don't feel like that's really Batman stuff. Maybe Batman would say that part, but he has a whole like little monologue before that. So talking about like sunlit children or some like, or a sunlit boy cannot help but cast a shadow. Like, I don't know, it's very gothic, like Shakespearean type of talk in my opinion. And I just don't really get that vibe from Batman. It kind of fits with the story they're telling here, but I don't really care what the, like, the type of story that gets told. I always just think like, no, Batman talks like this. You know what I mean? But hey, some people might really enjoy it. I just didn't really like the vibe of it. We do get a Joker appearance, ladies and gentlemen. Yep, of course, you know you can't tell a crazy story without the Joker. You know, Batman's about to be hung at one point, and there's somebody in the shadows that says, "Oh boy, ha 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 ha." And then, of course, it's just the crazy Joker smile teeth. It says, "Only one way to hang a shadow, you know." And that's all you see of Joker. So there's then we get into like everybody trying to save Batman. So we have like Cheshire and this I forget who this other cat person is. It might be Eco. They go and they beat up all these guards. We have Barbara with all the drones watching everybody. Gordon is keeping an eye on the GCPD and whatever this other guard ship is that's happening, because like the villains in this have their own guards. And then Catwoman's like, okay, that means we gotta strike. Like, this is going to be the one moment where security is the least amount. We have, you know, Orphan, or I should say Batgirl nowadays, beats the shit out of everybody. Mr. Freeze freezes a whole bunch of people. Or it's implied that he freezes a whole bunch of people. And right before Batman's about to be hung, there is this one moment where, like, they're still trying to make, basically, they're trying to cause a commotion in these other areas these villains need, because they have important things there. And to get them to kind of go away from Batman. And one of the things they do is they have an explosion happen outside of one of these areas, and somebody breaks out of the back of this 18-wheeler, and it's Azrael in the freaking bat suit that he wore during, what was the story called? I'm trying to look through all my books right now, and I think I have it covered. And I don't know where it's at. Nightfall, right? I think that's when Azrael, it's when Bane breaks Batman's back. Azrael comes in to be Batman for a little bit. It's Nightfall Azrael, where he's in the bat suit and he has like a flaming sword and stuff like that. So I thought this was really cool. He scares the hell out of everybody. And then this big wolf creature shows up. And of course, Azrael's talking like Azrael. And he's going to fight this wolf monster thing with his crazy sword. And Catwoman, this is where she strikes. And she goes to the prince, or like the son of these people that are causing all this craziness in Gotham. And she's all like, "Call off the hanging or I, you know, slit your kid's throat." And the kid's like, "No." And or he's a grown ass man, but he's a child of these people. But she's like, the queen or whoever this lady is comes in and is like, "Yeah, my son is prepared to die for the cause. So you can slit his throat. Like, it doesn't matter." Because the one thing you need to know, Catwoman, is don't ever, what did she say? She's like, never play a hand you are not willing to lose. And the reason why it's interesting that she says that is because, like, this whole time, Catwoman's been giving, like, poker analogies on, like, how you have to, like, trick people and it's all about deception and stuff. But you know what? At the end of the day, somebody can always call your bluff. And that's what these people did. And so at the very end, we see this queen lady be like, go ahead and do it. Kill the Batman or hang the Batman. And the very last panel is Batman hanging. His feet are hanging. So, which is very funny because the panel progression here is pretty poor. Because as the lady is saying, hang the Batman, the noose is there right over Batman. It's not attached to him. Like, the noose is not on Batman. Then you see the hangman pull the lever, and then then Batman's just floating. So, kind of weird and silly panel progression there. Probably should have had the rope around his neck. But, yeah, my theory is since Catwoman's plan failed, Joker's going to save Batman. That is my theory, I think, because you don't show the Joker and then him not do anything, especially when you say there's only one way to hang a shadow or something like that. I think Joker is going to be the reason why Batman survives because, again, Joker's endgame is he's the only one that gets to kill the Bat, right? He has to have Batman break his own rule before anything. And so, yeah, I think that Joker will be involved in this somehow because I don't know why they would just randomly show him, right? There's no point in doing that. But I'm enjoying the story. Like I said, I haven't cared for it at all. It took Ram V bringing in Catwoman for me to like be interested in the story because he writes Catwoman so well that I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. He writes her so well. And I'm like, all right, I'm on board. I have not liked the story. Other than that though, I go in and check every once in a while. And I'm just like, again, cause I don't think he writes Batman's dialogue well. I think he's trying to make him be this gothic thing, which, granted, yeah, there is a lot of gothic Batman, stories out there, but this one just seems really weird. I think you can do this style and still make Batman Batman, but, you know, in eras, everybody has their, you know, writer that they love that wrote Batman a certain way, so yada yada, so, you know, it's always going to be different, but let's go ahead and move on to Neo-Gothic. This is Batman Beyond Neo-Gothic, issue number 5. So if you don't remember what happened in the last issue when we were covering this, Batman and Kyle, which is the cat, the magical cat, have went down many, many layers in Gotham. They've been going down this labyrinth of layers. And the last thing that they did was they came across the Green, which was actually a bunch of different type of plant creatures. And I thought this was really interesting because as they're fighting the Green, Batman and Kyle are trying to survive. They're trying to find Constantine, which kind of like, I mean, from my understanding, Constantine was dead, but I guess they think Constantine is down here somehow as well, which is really weird. So they're trying to search for Constantine, or Kyle is, and, Batman does tell him to go find Constantine. He Terry is saying like, oh, I know all of you people. He's talking about the Green. He was like, I know Poison Ivy. I recognize Black Orchid. You're a deep cut, which I've never heard of Black Orchid. So he literally calls it a deep cut. He was like, got to admit though, I've got no idea who you are, Muckman. And from my understanding, it just looks like Swamp Thing. And it would blow my mind if Terry didn't know who Swamp Thing was. And the reason why I say this is because Terry later admits that Batman used to have, like, Terry do these gardening, like, exercises or whatever to learn about botany class or whatever, to learn about plants. And that's how he goes and, like, beats these guys because he knows about botany. And that Batman never once told him about Swamp Thing. Like, kind of weird that Terry doesn't know about it. But hey, you know, these new generation of kids, am I right? They don't know the classics. But anyway, so I thought that was, but he knows Black Orchid. Like, it blew my mind. Because, like, I cannot recall ever reading a story with Black Orchid in it. Poison Ivy, sure. Swamp Thing, sure. Black Orchid, that is a deep cut, because I don't even know it, but I thought that was wild. Anyways, Kyle is, Batman told him to run, he's like, we're teammates, you gotta go find the kids. Kyle goes and finds the kids, and basically they got the kids in like a Matrix type of situation, but instead of machines, it's all these plants, like they're pods and plants, and their life energy is being cycled into this big root that is right under Gotham. And as Terry is fighting, you know, he's fighting the green is telling him, like, you know, we're down here to save we're here to save the green from the toxic nature of the of your world and yada yada. And of course, like, you know, it's just a big fight. It's like a big fight the whole time. Batman's talking to Kyle and like, yo, we got to do this. And he was like, I can't find Constantine. He was like, if I learned, this is where he talks about the botany class. He's like, if I learned everything, every plant has like a taproot, an absolute center. He was like, that's where you would find Constantine. And so they go and they find Constantine. And Constantine is like this weird plant type creature, still smoking a cigarette, by the way, which I find very counterproductive when you are a plant. Probably don't want to get burned, but Constantine's gotta have that cigarette, you know what I mean? So he's still smoking, he's tied up to the green, and he was like, I'm dead, I'm free, and, I'm here to protect the future or whatever. And Terry's like, bullshit. Like, I know Constantine, and Constantine is a complete asshole. He would never care about anybody else. And you're gonna tell me just now when he's dead, when he's free, his whole MO is to protect children and protect the future. He was like, bullshit. And so I love this. I love that Terry is just straight up calling out this Constantine Taproot person or whatever. And he was like, you know, what ends up happening is it kind of cuts off there. Like Constantine says, your world is dying. A crisis looms beyond the dark. Only innocence can be saved. And then Batman's like, from what? And so it cuts to us, it cuts to Gotham, like the upper, you know, the highest level of Gotham, or the surface level, I should say. And it's that luminous guy, the guy that's like super light, talking to who we assume is Terry's girlfriend, the cop chick. And they're having a back and forth saying like, oh, you're a terrible person. He's like, I don't really give a fuck. Like, I don't care about history. I'm making history kind of thing. And he blows up a lot of Gotham. Like, it's crazy. He just blows up all of this historic Gotham, which in reality we know is not historic Gotham. I mean, it's just a bunch of buildings that have been built over a city. I guess it's historic for some people. And he blows up all these people, and then he freaks out, and he's like, yo, my bombs were supposed to be controlled. That crater wasn't in the plans because all of Gotham starts caving into the ground. And so he's like freaking out. He's like, what's going on? And, she's like, the whole city's going to fall. And what we ended up seeing is all the kids in the taproot, it looks like, I'm assuming freaking Constantine, sorry, is making the root and all of the green go to the top of Gotham. And the very final page, which this is massive, by the way, is this huge plant has come out of the middle of Gotham. And we have, you remember how Killer Croc was like super big, like Godzilla size? He's out there. We see this big Killer Croc just like, it looks like a freaking toy compared to how big this plant is. And so he's like crazy small. And then there's all the Court of Owls are like coming out like bugs. And it says, next, the fall of Neo-Gotham. And that's how the book ends. So, Gotham destroyed. You know, I don't know. Dude, insurance rates in Gotham have to be insane. Because I just don't see how people build there. Why would you even build there? You know what I mean? We've seen cities in America that have just died because they're like, eh, we're just going to move a power plant out of here. We're going to move a factory out of this town. And then the whole town dies. But for whatever reason, people are like, Gotham, gotta live there, dude. Destroyed every year, doesn't matter. We can build. Like, it blows my mind. I'm surprised there hasn't been a story where people move out of Gotham and try to go somewhere else. But yeah, I just think it's kind of crazy. Like, Gotham is, it's insanity of how crazy it keeps getting destroyed. But yeah, so I'm interested to see where it's going to go. What's going to happen? I don't know if Constantine is going to beat out this Luminous guy, or if people are going to blame him for destroying Gotham, and they're going to want him out, and he's going to go bankrupt or something like that. Because I believe he bought Wayne Industries, or Wayne Powers Industries, whatever it's called nowadays. So, yeah, I'm curious. But I think it's crazy that Constantine is still alive, even though when he's died, Kyle wanted him to take his sins back, but he's like, nah, bro, I'm good. So we'll see how the resolution's going to be there. But yeah, I mean, still great story, fun, wacky. You know, I don't have anything against these kind of stories. I think they're awesome. I just don't like when they're poorly written, you know? Like, we got super wacky with that Catwoman last week, right? Like, that was just ridiculous. But it's just because it's also not well written. I mean, Catwoman, I can't love a murderer, when she clearly did, which is, that story still annoys the fuck out of me. But yeah, that's all we got, ladies and gentlemen. Again, if you haven't, as I mentioned at the top of the podcast, Clay is, he will come back once he's got everything situated. It might be next week. I don't really know. But once he's got life's kind of like in order, we know what to expect. We know when we're going to record, when this video is going to get released. We will come back to doing the podcast with Clay. But for now, you got my solo voice. And all I got to say is, if you haven't checked out the new channel, go check out the new channel. I believe, I don't know if I linked it in the description or not, I will post a link of it on this particular podcast in case you want to check it out. If not, just search Juice from the Box, and it should be Juice from the Box V2. You'll see it on Twitter. Anyway, there's 6 videos on it. Go check it out if you can. I think it's, I don't know, put a lot of effort into those. And I'm going to be working on more of that today and over the next week or so to put out some more content, because I got some exciting ideas I want to put out. But that's going to be it, ladies and gentlemen. As always, I am Juice Wayne, and remember, Batman is awesome.